Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'a, on this day of the 4th of Dhul Hijjah and the 15th of July 2021. Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today our topic is on Qurbani and Eid al-Adha. Listeners can send their queries to the number 084-786-3132. Foreigners can send it to +278-786-3132. We have our Honorable Mufti Sapia, Hazrat Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Sap, Damat Barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Mufti Sap.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum ana Zahid Khan, jazakallahu khair. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, 084-786-3132. You can WhatsApp your queries, foreigners, +27847863132. And inshallah, topic is today, we're discussing Qurbani and Eid al-Adha, inshallah, which will be celebrated here in South Africa on Wednesday, and in Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, Masjid al-Aqsa Mubarak, and some other places Tuesday next week, inshallah al-Aziz.
Mufti Sahib, the first question, we have a lot of new Muslims listening. Can Mufti Sahib please explain what is Qurbani and the virtues of it?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihi al-Kareem, amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Regarding Qurbani slaughtering, we should remember that the historical perspective, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, and the hadith is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, Ma hadhil adahi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is this Qurbani, this udhiya? He Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, He a sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It is the sunnah of your spiritual father, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. And then the Sahaba, the beloved students, companions, radiallahu anhum, asked, Okay, Ya Rasulullah, what incentives are there for us? وَمَا لَنَا فِيهَا If we sacrifice, we slaughter the goat, the sheep, the camel, what will we receive? Mustafa, rahmatul alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بِكُلِّ شَعَرَةٍ حَسَنًا In exchange of every hair on the animal, you will receive a reward. So it goes into millions, Alhamdulillah. And then you see in Surah 108, the shortest Surah chapter of the Noble Quran, Surah Kawthar, verse number 2. Almighty Allah teaches us, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ That you read Salat for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah. Which Salat? Eid al-Adha Salat. Thereafter, Wanahar. Wanahar refers to slaughtering, sacrificing the camel. That is, the camel will be standing, the one leg at the back will be fastened, and that is called Nahar. And when it comes to the goat, the sheep, the cow, then you use the word Zabah, and Tazbahu Baqara. That is, you bring the animal down gently, you make it face Qibla, and in that way you also facing Qibla, and then you sacrifice and slaughter it. And remember, before slaughtering also, you say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. That is compulsory to say Bismillah, and you can say the following verses also. Chapter number 6, Suratul An'am, and verse number 162-163. Surah 6, verse 162-163. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين So you say, verily, inna salati, my prayer, my salat, wa nusuki, my sacrifice and slaughtering, wa mahyaya wa mati, my life and my death, lillahi rabbil alameen, is solely, only for Almighty Allah Jalla wala. And remember, Allah, He is Rabbil Alameen, the sustainer of the entire universe and creation. La sharika la, He has absolutely no associate, no partner. Wa bidhalika umirtu wa ana awwal al-muslimin. With that I have been commanded, and I am the first one to submit and surrender. So wonderful words, we all should read it as well. And in that way, all might Allah will grant us ikhlas and sincerity and qabooliyat and acceptance in His court with His grace and mercy.
Mufti Sahib, we see a lot of people engaging in nafil actions. If we perform this qurbani with ikhlas, can it be a means of making conditions lighter in the face of these hardships?
First and foremost, people need to get al-aham fal-aham, our priorities right. Many a time people say, I'm buying one goat or one sheep and I'm slaughtering it for Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or I'm slaughtering for my deceased parents, or I am doing it for ABC person. So all that is good, but that will be nafil and voluntary. So more important than that is we must slaughter for ourselves. So first we have to slaughter for ourselves, the one goat, the one sheep, or you know, in a cow or camel there are 7 shares. So that is what we need to worry about first. According to the Hanafi school, remember, the qurbani is wajib and compulsory and mandatory. And according to the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Ambali's, that if you slaughter 1, 2, so in that whole area, then the people will be absolved. And remember that those who slaughter sacrifice, they will receive the reward and so forth. So a lot of flexibility there. But Hanafi say it's one per person. So first you slaughter for yourself, then the second one you are doing, that will be nafil and so forth. So that will, inshallah, you make the intention that it will remove all these difficulties and these hardships people are going through, we are going through and so forth. So in that way there, all Almighty Allah will make everything much more easier. The unfavorable conditions will be changed into favorable. In the meantime, one easy example I'll give you. You know, next to the masjid, next to the mosque, you will find the Imam Sahib's residence is there. You will find the muazzin, the one who calls towards the prayer. Their residence normally is near the masjid. So they themselves should be sitting in the masjid for hours and hours with the intention of nafil etikaf and so forth. So all the so many places. Yesterday also I spoke to a person. I told him, why don't you go sit? You're right there by the masjid. Go sit there for etikaf and see how the halat, the situation, the condition will change. He said it's 100% the truth. He said they tried it already and they saw things were getting better. So everything comes in the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Mufti Sahib, today Zakat Nisab is at 7,500 rands. So if a person has this amount in cash, it is wajib for the Hanafis.
Remember, there's a big difference. The people don't understand. If you say 7,500 rand is a Nisab, so that is for Zakat purposes, and 1 year has to pass and all that. For Qurbani and Udhiyah, it doesn't work like that. So you must remember that you don't look at your money only. You take everything of yours that is permissible and extra. You take your shoes. How many pair of shoes you need? 1 or 2. But you got 8 pairs, 6 pairs of shoes. So the 3, 4 extra pairs, you put that one side, the value. Then clothing, how many sets of clothing you need? 3, 4, 5. We got 10, 20 sets of clothing. So that 15 extra sets, you put a value on that. Then you, the women, cutlery, crockery, jewelry, all that. That everything extra, you evaluate it and put a price on it. So everything that is extra, house extra, car extra, clothing extra, jewelry, so everything extra, you add all that to your cash. And remember, it's got nothing to do with 1 year and so forth. When it comes to Qurbani, you look at the days of Qurbani. So the days of Qurbani in South Africa will be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week. So those 3 days, you got 7,500 rand in cash or kind. So you combine both, then Qurbani is compulsory upon you according to the Hanafi school. So therefore, people make huge mistakes. They must understand. They think that I got 7,500 rand, but I got debts of 10,000 rand, so Qurbani is not compulsory. It's wrong debt. Qurbani is still compulsory upon you because you got so many things that are extra that belong to you in your house, whether it is your car, whether it is your watch, whether it is your clothing, whether it is your shoes, whether it is your cell phone, and the cell phone is not considered a necessity, essential. So all these things, yeah, you add all of that. So you must remember, will be considered as 7,500 rand, and the Qurbani will become mandatory, compulsory upon that person.
Mufti Sahib, with all the difficulties we are facing, how do we make Qurbani, and is it still wajib upon us?
Yes, 100%. You must remember that this is in war situations. You take in Palestine, occupied Palestine, you take in Syria and all these places, you will still say Qurbani must carry on. If you cannot perform it in your town or city, because you must remember there's so much tension and so many problems, so then you send the money overseas or what have you. Just few days ago, I sent out to all the groups that what I suggested and recommended, and I say that Majlisul Ulama of Port Elizabeth, we have confidence in them, and we don't have confidence in the other organizations. We need to be honest to the people and remember that we know their track record and so forth. So 70-80% of the organizations, we don't have confidence in them, just like the halal organizations. None of them we have a confidence in their halal stems and halal logos and so forth. So yeah, also that if you feel you won't be able to manage the Qurbani in your town, the situation is too volatile and tense and so forth, then in a situation like that, send the money overseas. Even now, if you want, you must remember, just send me a WhatsApp and don't make long stories. Just write Qurbani and I will send you the details of the majlis, and then you can deposit that and you can speak to them, and everything is written there. So it is self-explanatory. And in that way, there you know where they will be slaughtering and who will receive it and what. So Qurbani must carry on. Best is to do it in your hometown, in your home country. For some reason or the other, you can't manage, so then you must send it overseas. You can't say, no, the situation is very bad, so I'm not doing Qurbani. That will be unacceptable, not permissible, especially according to the Hanafi school. Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, if you do one also for the whole family, or you do one for 100 people, 1,000 people, so all that will be acceptable. There's a lot of flexibility according to majority scholars, the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's on this issue.
Mufti Sahib, a person says, I paid for my animal and the animal got stolen or the farm got burnt. What should we do in these situations?
Yes, I have received several queries of that nature. ABC person paid 3,000 rand, we're just using a round figure, for his sheep, for his goat, for his animal, or much more, 10,000-20,000 for his cow, for his bull, or what have you. And now, with all the situation the past few days, that person's farm got burnt, the animals got stolen, and so forth. So what happens in a case like that? So this will be the fatwa, that the person upon whom the Qurbani is compulsory, he, according to the Hanafi school especially, he will have to still slaughter another animal and so forth and so on. So he, this farmer, this is not amanat, this is not a trust, this is a bay, this is a deal, a transaction, a business transaction. You paid him and he told you he will give it to you, deliver it to you, or you must come there, eat there and so forth. forth. So it shows that he, we know it's not his fault, but he, the owner, he will be held responsible, and he should pay that refund the people who purchased it from him. But you, the people for who paid for it, should also use your common sense. That man there lost millions and millions. If he had 100 goats, 100 sheep, 100 cow, 100 bull, whatever, so it will go into millions and millions of rain, Allah forbid. So try and meet the man somehow, make a compromise. If you pay 3,000 rand, for example, tell him, Baji, that, you know, oh, uncle, give me back 2,000, 1,000, 1,500. So at least you try and negotiate. So you know you don't recoup all your money, but at least you recoup something. So in that way there, you make ihsan, and you try and help that person also. So his losses are gone into the millions, and he thought he'll be making a profit, P-R-O-F-I-T. Now, instead of making a profit, there's big khasara and big loss for him. So that will be my advice in that situation.
Mufti Sahib, we understand Qurbani is sacrifice, but due to the halat and the conditions of finding halal meat, as Mufti Sahib said, that you can't put our trust in halal organizations, so we consume this meat in the year. Is this still considered as sacrifice?
So you must remember that the aim of Qurbani is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kulu wa at'imu wa dakhiru. Authentic hadith, you must remember, in Mishkat Sharif, Usad Ahmed, that you slaughter the animal, and thereafter you yourself, you eat from there, and you feed others also, and you store it also. You can store it for months, from one eat till the next eat also, biltong and all that. So that will be fine and acceptable. There's no problem with that. Now here we need to understand 2-3 issues. That number one, when we sacrifice, the spirit should be, we are sacrificing our desires, our whims and fancies. Khalilullah Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, last night I spoke about it, and how beautiful it sounds. Let me just repeat it. How come he became Khalil al-Rahman? That is Khalilullah. He became the voice of beloved, loved and special friend of Almighty Allah. So I'll give the whole thing in Arabic and then explain it. Sallama nafsahu lindiran wa ahlahu lil hijran wa waladahu lil qurban wa ramyahu lil shaitan wa malahu lil dayfan wa darbahu lil tughyan fasara khalil ar-rahman. Subhanallah. So last night the whole talk was on that, and I sent out the podcast that who is Khalilullah Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, and the legacy he left behind. So let's explain briefly each point. Sallama nafsahu lin-niran. When he smashed the idols of the people which they were worshipping, he blasted it and hit it to pieces and only left the big one. So they said, harriquhu wansuru aliyatakum, burn him and help your deities and semi-gods and demigods and all. So then they cast and threw him into the fire. So remember, if you go to Turkey, Urfa and those places, you will see it there. Till today, the signs are still there, the symbols are still there. So while going into the fire, Jibreel alayhi salam came and said, tell me, what can I do for you, Khalilullah? He's a Nabi, Iman Kamil, perfect Iman. He said, Amma ilayk fala hajat ali. As for you, I got no need. He was reading whilst going airborne. Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for me, and Allah is the best one to take care of my matters and affairs. Therefore, during this trying, difficult times, we beg you, petition you, appeal to you. O Ummah, read chapter 3, verse 173. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for us. Allah is the best one to take care of our matters and affairs. So that is chapter 3, verse 173. And Surah chapter 22, verse 78. فَنِئْمَ الْمَوْلَىٰ وَنِئْمَ النَّصِيرِ. He is the best protector and the best helper. That is Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. سلم نفسه للنيران وأهله للهجران. Imagine taking your wife and your baby and leaving them where? بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم. No habitation, no vegetation, nothing. Jungle mein jungle ko mangal bana diya. So you must remember that there was a place of desert. And there you must remember he left solely, only placing his trust in Almighty Allah. Allah made that place the markaz, the headquarters for humanity and posterity. The Baytullah, the Kaaba Musharrafa, the Zamzam started. Then he, father and son, Nabi Ibrahim, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, reconstructed the Baytullah, the Kaaba Musharrafa. So all this remember. So we must remember he left that sacrifice he made, his son and his wife, Hajar, Hajara. Does Maulana in Arabic grammar, rhetoric and balagha, you call it tarkhim. Tarkhim means Hajar, Hajara. Aish, Aisha. So the last consonant, the last letter, you can delete it, omit it. So you call it, so Hajar, Hajara. Aish, Aisha, like that. So that you call tarkhim. So you must remember that's what he did with Sayyida Hajar radiallahu ta'ala anha and Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. And what he did, wa waladahu lil qurban. We all know that. He took his son and made qurbani, he sacrificed him. But Almighty Allah removed the impact of the knife. It became blunt and nothing happened. Saved was the life of the son. So go read chapter 37 just after Surah Yasin and see verses 101, 102, 103, 104, how Almighty Allah spared the life of Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. Therefore Mustafa sallallahu alayhi salam says, Anabnu Zabihain. I am the son of two people who were supposed to be sacrificed. One is Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, and one is my honorable father Abdullah. That he also supposed to be sacrificed, then his life was spared and so forth. So you must remember that. So that is wa waladahu lil qurban and wa ramyahu lil shaitan. You see, few days time is Hajj, and you see people will be pelting the jamarat, so the symbolic shaitan. When he, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Abraham was going, he, the Satan, and Iblis, he tried to make waswasa and whispering, how can you take your son and go and sacrifice and slaughter him? So he took the dust and sand and clay and pebbles and threw in that direction. So we imitate and emulate Khalilullah, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then wama lahu lidayfan, his wealth was for the guests. He was one of the most generous people. He would hardly have a meal and alone, and so forth, always looking for guests. And then remember wadwarbahu lituyan, he took the this thing, these idols, and he smashed them to pieces with his right hand. Quran Kareem teaches us. So all this he did, fasara khalil ar-rahman, he became the special friend of Nabi of Almighty Allah, that is Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam.
Mufti Sahib, coming to the Eid Salah, where should we perform our Eid Salah in this lockdown?
Remember, tomorrow is Jumu'ah. So where are you going to perform your Jumu'ah Salat? Officially, the masajid are not yet open. They said they are open, that you have a meeting there to quell the violence and so forth, but not for prayer and all that. So officially, that is the standpoint. Although our lawyers and them are using a technicality and so forth, but you must remember the official verdict will be that. So of the authorities and so forth. So nevertheless, our advice will be that you make your small jamaats in your houses, in your garages, in your warehouses, wherever you can. Minimum you must have four men, and they must be sane and mature, and that's including the imam and so forth. That's for Jummah Salat. And then, you know, each Salat, the Salat is first and then is the khutbah, so afterwards. So remember that same law will apply, especially according to the Hanafi school. However, according to Shafi's and them, it's much more flexible regarding Eid Salat. Even if a person is alone, he can perform the Eid Salat at his house or wherever he can, you know. So that will be acceptable. So the same laws basically will apply, because big gatherings they will not allow. So therefore, we should try and organize ourselves from now. Where are we going to be for Jummah Salat tomorrow? Where are we going to be for Eid Adha Salat on Wednesday in South Africa? So remember, make the arrangements from now, and in that way there, that is for the men. For the women, there is ijma and consensus. Eid Salat is not compulsory, is not sunnat muakkada, nothing. For the ladies, so on that, all four schools agree on that issue there. So they don't have to worry, the ladies, especially the men, they have to be concerned about the Eid Salat.
Alhamdulillah, we return back to this program, and we have a question here. A person is asking, must I make qurban if I'm zakatable?
Remember that this question will have two connotations and two meanings. You mean that you're receiving zakat, and now if you're receiving zakat, is it compulsory upon you to make qurbani and so forth and so on? So we will say that I told you just now, for qurbani, remember, you don't just look at your money. You take everything of yours that is extra, your clothing, and remember that your shoes, and the women, their cutlery, crockery, all these type of things. Then if you got your car, so you got the extra car, cell phones, everything you will take. And if that comes to 7,500 and more, then qurbani will be compulsory upon you according to the Hanafi school. So you must remember that. And remember, somebody is asking about the Shafis and all of them. Is qurbani compulsory? I told you, Shafis, Malikis, Hanbalis, if few people slaughter, so then they will receive the reward. And other people don't slaughter, then there's no sin upon them. It's called kifaya. Kifaya means that if few people do so, then the others will be absolved of that duty. So that is the meaning there, according to majority scholars.
Mufti Sahib, can we choose a sheep which the tail has been cut off?
Remember, our fatwa is this, that if the tail is cut off and so forth, then the animal will not be permissible for qurbani and so forth. It is considered ma'ib, as a defect in it. So therefore, it is not permissible. Some other ulama, they say permissible and all that. But our fatwa says no, that we don't agree with that fatwa. And we say that there are other alternatives. If the sheep got a problem like that, you can slaughter a goat, you can buy a cow, you can buy a bull. So many other options you got. So therefore, we can't use that as a valid excuse.
Mufti Sahib, what is the difference of opinion between the four madhahib regarding the Eid Salah?
So you must remember, regarding the Eid Salat and so forth, everybody agrees. You must remember that you're supposed to perform the Eid Salat for the men. There is no difference of opinion when it comes to women. None of them say it's compulsory and so forth. So that's one issue. Hanafi say you must remember that Eid Salat is wajib. That is the fatwa of the Hanafis. Other scholars say you must remember that Eid Salat is sunnat muakkada and so forth. So if you do so, very, very good. And so, and remember, regarding the place, so we will say that you're supposed to read the Eid Salat in the Musalla. Musalla means what we call Eidgah. So that is what is meant. See the beauty of Islam. And this will be for both Eids, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha. You read your Tahajjud Salat, that is in the early part of the morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you ignited one nur, one radiance and effulgence. Then your 5 daily Salat, you read in your local Masjid and Musalla, Jamaat Kanakol. So your nur got bigger, that radiance, effulgence got larger. Thereafter, Jummah Salat, you went where? To the Jummah Masjid, Jami Masjid. So that circle, that nur got even larger and bigger. So eat salat, preferably you don't go read in a masjid, but you go and read in that open space, open field. So the nur gets even bigger and larger. And then remember, once in a lifetime, then you go to Arafat, the greatest assembly of humanity. And that is why for the hajis, there's no real eat salat. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed hajj, didn't perform eat salat in the 10th year of the hijrah. So you must remember that assembly in Arafat, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, so that is the greatest assembly. So the Noor Day is the largest and the biggest and the greatest. So where it started, in the confines of your house. So yes, every one of the men, they should make a concerted effort, those who are sane and mature, that from now, that we say make bandobast, we say that make arrangements, and sort out where you are going to perform your Jummah Salah tomorrow and your Eid Salah on Wednesday or Tuesday if you are in other countries. But other countries won't have this problem like ours unless they have lockdown and so forth. So then you read in your home, you read in your garden, you read in your backyard, wherever you get placed and space, inshallah, Allah Jalla Wala make it easy.
Mufti Sahib, can we give the Qurbani meat to non-Muslims?
Remember, Qurbani meat, now let me explain to you how the sequence should be. Surah 108, that is Surah Kawthar, verse 2. This is the proper way of doing it, sunnah. There's different thing that today in this day and age, maybe you find 1%, 5%, maximum 10% doing it. Not more than that. So what will happen is, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ. Chapter 108, Surah Kawthar, verse number 2. You go walking to the Muswalla, you go to the Eidgah, you read your Salat there, right? After your Salat, then is the Khutbah and so forth. Now you come home and so forth, then what do you do? That you slaughter. And you go home or the farm or wherever, you slaughter, sacrifice that animal. Thereafter, you cook the animal. And thereafter, you eat the kabit, the kaleji, the liver, that is sunnah. And if you want a reference of it, open I'la'u Sunan. That's a great, great book for the Hanafi students and scholars and ulama to read. You will find all the dalail and evidence of the Hanafi school, I'la'u Sunan. So very, very good. So you will find there about the kabit, about the kaleji, the liver. So that's the first part you should eat when you are slaughtering the qurbani, sacrificing the animal and so forth. And sunnatun nabawiyah, it is a sunnah of the Master alayhi salam. So that is how things. Now you want to feed the people, kulu wa atimu. You want to eat yourself, so you ate. Now you want to feed others. So Shafi'is, Maliki, Ambalis and them say, no, you must give Muslims only. Hanafi say that you give Muslim or non-Muslim. So Hanafi say, lot of flexibility. But Shafi'is and them say, it must be Muslim only. Just like Aqiqah also. So Aqiqah meat, Qurbani meat fall in the same category. The meat must be given to Muslims only, according to Shafi'is and them. And Hanafis, whether it's Qurbani or whether it's Aqiqah, you can give to Muslim and you can give to non-Muslim. Both ways it is permissible and acceptable.
Mufti Sahib, a woman is keen on slaughtering herself. Is this possible? And what is if she's in a state of menses?
Remember, there are 3-4 different issues. Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed his ladli, addressed his beloved daughter, beloved child, the most beloved Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, and said, Qumi washhadi, stand here and witness how your qurbani, your animal is being sacrificed. So it shows if we are slaughtering at home, there are no strange men there and so forth. For example, it is the husband, the wife, the father, mother, their son, their daughter or daughters and so forth, and no other people, no strange men and so forth. So now the daughter, the wife, they are there to witness how they their qurbani and sacrifice being done. So that is 100% virtuous and meritorious. But today what we do, we got, you know, family, there the Kala son is there, the Masi son is there, the uncle son is there, this one. So strange men are there, then all this is not permissible. Everybody is seeing one another, and today it's gone even worse. It's not only looking and so forth. Today the people got one gadget, they can't leave it, and that is a cell phone. And every minute then when there's Qurbani, they want to take videos and so forth. So they'll be busy taking the video of the lady slaughtering. That lady got nothing to do with them. He's a stranger, but he's taking the photo and all that of another lady, somebody else's wife, somebody else's daughter. So how can this be justified? Definitely unacceptable. That's one issue. Second issue, you must remember, if the lady, she's an expert, she grew up in the farm or whatever you, and she knows how to slaughter. So for her to slaughter the cow, for her to slaughter the goat, the sheep, all that is permissible, no problem. But provided that she has expertise in that. Then the third issue, what happens if she's in a menses? So I remember very, very well when I was a young boy, I can still visualize it. You must remember that these are vivid memories, remember. My mother, she would take, you know, they had contact with Hazrat Mawlana Zubair Ali Nawar Allah Marqadahu Mamaji. So subhanallah, he used to teach them things, you know. And what he said, 100% was implemented. So I remember my mother would take the chicken. You can't use chicken for qurbani, but I want to show you what Islam teaches and how we're supposed to practice on it. That they would bring the chicken, the fowl, all that. And then they would give it water, you see. That is Islam. Islam says before sacrificing, give the animal water. Inna Allah katab al ihsan ala kulli shayin. Fa idha dhabahtum fa ahsinu adhibha. And you must give it rahat, you must give it comfort. So open Abu Dawood, open Mishkat, Musnad Ahmad. You will find all these hadiths there. So now the lady, my mother used to slaughter, we used to stand, my father used to stand, and I used to stand. And my mother is slaughtering and all that, you know, the chicken and so forth. So you must remember, for a lady to slaughter the chicken, to sacrifice the goat, the sheep, the cow, all that, she got a lot of himmat and courage. So even in hayz, totally permissible. In menses, there's no problem in that. Remember these type of things here. It will be totally permissible. Again, we have to reiterate and repeat that all this must be done, that somebody's wife, mother's daughter is sacrificing. Then it's not the strange man there. So that is not permissible. Then she must be there with her parents or with her brother or with her husband and so forth. And then she's doing the slaughtering. So all these factors must be taken into consideration.
Mufti Sahib, when does the takbir and tashriq begin?
So you must remember, takbir and tashriq, you must remember, is one word, takbir ut tashriq. So takbir means Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Tashriq refers to the 11th, the 12th, the 13th of Zulhijjah. That means after you slaughter the animal, then they should take the skin and the hide, and they would leave it there in the sun. Then they would put some, you know, chemical or whatever. And in those days, they put some things there. So the tanning process would come. Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Kullu ihabin dubiga faqad tahura. That every hide, every skin that has been tanned, you must remember, is tahir, is pure. You can use it as a carpet, you can use it as a musalla, you can use it as a seat cover, you can use it in your car. All that is permissible. Beside the swine, remember that. And Shafis will say beside the swine and the dog, because the dog is also najasul ain. How the swine, the pig, you must remember, bumper to bumper, top to bottom, front to back, every part of it is napak, najis, and impure. Imam Shafi says the same law applies to the dog as well. That is the verdict of the Shafis. We should remember that properly. So that is one point finish. Now the takbir. Now let us take South Africa so we don't get mixed up and so forth. So in South Africa, the day of Arafat will be the Tuesday, next week Tuesday. And the day of Eid will be on Wednesday, right? So that is our South African Taqweem, our South African calendar, and so forth. So what will happen is, on Tuesday, that is the 9th of Zulhijjah, from Fajr time you start. So Hanafis say wajib, all the other scholars, Maliki, Shafi, Zambali, they say sunnah. But Imam Abu Hanifa and them, they say it is compulsory, meaning it's wajib. So the fatwa of Hanafi is wajib. Once at least you should say. So you start now, let's start now on Tuesday. So that is the 9th. Then 9, 10, 11, 12, and then 13. So 13 will be this Friday, it will be after Fajr, after Zuhr, and after Asr. So if you count the first Salat, it will be 23 Salat. So let's count it now. So we see Tuesday, all 5 Salat. Then Wednesday, all 5 Salat. Thursday, all 5 Salat. So Friday, all 5 Salat. And then Saturday, that will be the 13th. So you must remember after Fajr, after Zuhr, after Asr, and then it's finished. Because you must remember Hajj finishes then. So that is the extra day for belting and so forth. The 13th of Zulhijjah. So that only Tawaful Wida will be left after that. So when people are there for Hajj and so forth. So we must always remember 23 Salat. Hanafi say wajib, and majority scholars, Shafi's, Maliki, Zambali say sunnah. What is the takbir? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Maulana Zahid Khan, Damat Barakatuhum, is going to perform Eid Salat in the Jummah Masjid in a certain town, you understand? Or in the Musalla, in certain place. Example I'm giving. So Maulana, these are the 3-4 things you should know. You must remember, educate the people from now. Whilst walking or going in your vehicle from your home to the Eidgah, to the Musalla. Musalla means Eidgah. Or you're going to the Masjid. So the people must read the Takbir. And how should they read the Takbir? Loudly. All the scholars agree. The Takbir should be read loudly. For Eid al-Adha. Zayyinu a'ayadakum bit Takbir. That beautify your Eid with Takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Allahu akbar walillahi alhamd. Therefore myself, I normally just give lecture and tell the imam make khutbah salat. Sometimes they insist, then I make the khutbah and salat. Or sometimes the khutbah. So the Eid khutbah is very easy. In between everywhere, just put takbir. So like one sentence I read now. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Alhamdulillahi kathira. Allahu Akbar kabira. Walhamdulillahi kathira. Wa subhanallahi bukuratan wa asila. So words like that you read. So during the khutbah, so first khutbah, second khutbah. Another point you must remember is the imams, the khatib, that this is mustahab and sunnah, some ulama, but better mustahab. When you just start the khutbah for each salat is after the salat. So remember when you are standing there on the minbar, the pulpit, so fi bidayatil khutbatil ula, in the beginning of the first khutbah, you read the takbir 9 times. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, like that. 9 times you read, and then you start your khutbah. Fil khutbatil thaniya, and in the second khutbah, 7 times you read. So many a time you will see ulama, imams, wa nas wa ana ghafilun, the people, they don't practice on this. Either they don't know, or either they forget, or they don't, you understand, bother, Allah forbid, that's wrong. We must revive all these adab and sunnah and so forth. So first khutbah in the starting 9 times takbir, and second one 7 times. So that is some ulama wrote sunnah, some ulama wrote mustahab. So that is also something that should be taken into consideration. Likewise, the issue of dua. When should dua be made? You must remember, if you study Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Khulafa'i Rashidin, they would make the dua and recite the dua in the second khutbah. So when ending, towards the ending part, all the duas were included. So the dua was not made after the salat. The dua was not made after the khutbatain, and you know, separately. It was done in the second khutbah. So that is how the dua was made and so forth. But nowadays the ulama have returned that it's better to make the dua after the salat, the Eid salat, and then you make the khutbah, and in the ending you read the khutbah. The problem today is you can make so many duas there, but majority of the people don't understand the Arabic language, so therefore that they want dua and so forth. So make the dua after the first salat, after the Eid salat, and that will be an easy way out to practice on it.
Mufti Sahib, after the Eid Salat, we have to make takbir at tashriq.
So you must remember, wala ba'sa bit takbir ba'da salatil Eid. So if you make takbir after the Eid Salat, there's no harm, it's permissible. See, I show you the beauty of the noble Quran. Quran Kareem speaks about it, you must remember, both places. On the occasion of Eid al-Fitr, now we are fasting. Today is the 29th fast, Ramadan, for example, or 30th. So tonight is Eid, the Laylatul Eid, the night of Eid. And tomorrow is Eid al-Fitr. This example, obviously, we are giving. So there, Almighty Allah teaches us, وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ. You complete the amount of days of Ramadan, and then glorify the name of Almighty Allah, because Allah blessed you with hidayat, and that is the greatest gift, the wealth of iman. And what is Eid day? وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you thank Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. This is for Eid al-Fitr, that is the first of Shawwal, the day after Ramadan finishes. Chapter 2, Surah 2, and verse number 185. So there Almighty Allah taught us, وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ. Now we go to Eid al-Adha, what we're going to celebrate inshallah on Wednesday. So what does Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us there? لَيَّنَا لَلَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَا كِيَّنَا لُهُ التَّقْوَى. That it is not the flesh of the animal, nor is it the blood of the animal that is going to reach Allah. That is a criteria. It is your taqwa, your piety. See again, Allah speaks of takbir. Surah Hajj, chapter number 22 and verse number 37. Chapter 22, verse 37. كَذَلِكَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ. Imagine the big, big camel, the big, big cow and the bull. So Allah Ta'ala has made it subservient for you, subjugated it for you, that you can hold it, you can sacrifice it, you can slaughter it. لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ. So what must you do? You must start the takbir. This takbir is now all the time must carry on. All the time, nowadays and so forth. Sahaba in these days, they used to go in the marketplace, in the public, Sayyidina Abu Huraira and them, and they used to read takbir loudly. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. The takbir is called takbir mutlaq, unconditional, anytime you read. And the takbir we read after the salat from the 9th, we must remember, of Zulhijjah, Fajr time, till the 13th after Asr. So that is takbir muqayyad. That is a specific type of takbir, specific after salat and so forth. لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ. So that you make the takbir, and that is you glorify Almighty Allah's name. And then what Allah said? وَبَشِّرِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Chapter 22, Surah Hajj, verse number 37. Allah gives glad tidings to those people who fulfill their duty with beauty. How? You're slaughtering the goat, you're slaughtering the sheep, slaughtering the camel, the cow, the bull, But you're doing it with ihsan. Inna Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay. You must not torture the animal. There must be no, you must remember what's going on today. All that totally haram in Islam, the stunning and so forth. They stunning, you must remember the goats and the sheep and the cow and the chicken and all. You can't make qurbani of chicken, but I'm just explaining to you. I saw there's so many, you must remember, abattoirs. All that totally haram that is. Islam teaches us rahmah, compassion and mercy with the animals as well. فَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا. See the word ihsan everywhere. So fulfill your duty with beauty. That is what Islam is teaching us. And one more point before I forget. Now we are finished. You must remember with the Eid Salat. We are finished with the khutbah. I meet you, Mona Zahid. I meet Suleiman Esop. I meet Brother Yusuf Ali. I meet this one, that one. So what we're going to say? تقبل الله منا ومنكم. So remember, that is the sunnah dua after Eid. And if you want a reference of it, open Bukhari Sharif, the commentary, Fathul Bari of Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani, and you will see it's mentioned there as well. So when the Sahaba used to meet, and remember Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself also read the dua. So you must remember that taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum. So therefore it is a sunnah as well. So one more question, inshallah, Maulana, for this today's discussion, inshallah.
A person forgot to read the dua while slaughtering.
So if he forgot to read the dua, then the animal is halal. But if he left out the bismillah deliberately, intentionally, then you must remember the animal is carrion, is meta, and not permissible. So therefore get people there to remind you, before you slaughter every goat, every sheep, every cow, animal, you must say at least bismillah. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ. You can't consume and eat that animal on which Allah's name has not been taken. So therefore, that will be haram and not permissible where the person leaves it out or omits it intentionally, deliberately. Okay, let me give you, you must remember the Dawah rundown for today. So 12 to 1, 12 o'clock will be the news, and thereafter the importance and benefits of following the Sunnah by Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib of Azadwal, Damat Barakatuhum, Mashallah. 1 o'clock to Adhan and 1:05 to 1:30. The report back, it was Monday, and now this is the repeat. Very interesting. My trip there to Potchefstroom and then to Pretoria and then to Heidelberg, and a lot of stories there. So 1:30 to 2 will be the tafsir. Remember Surah Tawbah, and that is verse number 24. Only one verse, that is, because there's a lot of explanation to do and so forth. So that is 1:30 to 2, and that is verse number 24. Then 2 to 3 will be Madrasa on air, and that is with Mawlana Zahid Khan between 2 and 3, inshallah. 3 to 3:30 will be, we must remember, the repeat of the Q&A of this morning, and that will be between 3 and 3:30. 3:30 to 4, Ummat ku gunaho se roko. That save the Ummah and remind the Ummah, we all have to abstain from vices and from sins and so forth. That will be what we must do, inshallah. So that is compulsory upon us to stay away from the vices. And thereafter, we must remember that that is 3:30 to 4. 4 to 5, that Sheikh Mumtazul Haq, what is wasila and so forth. Very good topic. 5 to 6 today, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub. 6 to 7 will be live, my program, inshallah, after Maghrib on Sirius FM, Radio Ansar, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Today we discuss the history of Makkah Mukarrama and Madinah Munawwara, inshallah. And then 7 to upper 7 will be the repeat of last week's khutbah from Makkah Mukarrama. 7:30 to 8, inshallah, will be Mawlana Yunus Patel's advices. 8 to 10, Mawlana Arafat and Mawlana Salim Kareem. And then 10 to 11, Maulana Ridwan Kaji, inshallah. Make dua for us and the Ummah at large. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
To Mufti Sahib and all our listeners, we say Jazakumullah khairan. We'll head for the news now. Jazak.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.